You may have seen my next guest in big-time movies like A Few Good Men or Avalon or The Usual Suspects or Grumpy Old Men or on and on and on. He actually takes up three full pages on the Internet Movie Database. St. Louisans may have seen him at Busch Stadium last fall when he was here in town palling around with Tony La Russa because he's working on a big-screen version of Three Nights in August, the Buzz Bissinger book about Tony. His name is Kevin Pollak, and he's in town to work the Funny Bone this weekend. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I was just talking about you being in town last fall, hanging around Busch Stadium with Tony La Russa.
Yes, sir. We have been working for about a year and a half on bringing the book Three Nights in August to the silver screen.
Are you going to play Tony?
Oh, God, no. We can get much better than that.
Who do you have in mind? Have you started the casting yet?
Well, I could tell you who our first choice is, but there's a problem in that. We have a very specific first choice, and should we fail in that attempt, when we go to our second choice, and the word's already gotten around, which it would, who our first choice was, second choice actor would not be happy.
All right, then just tell us the second choice. I mean, who are we going to make mad? No, well, you know, we'd make the third choice mad, wouldn't we?
Yeah, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your experience hanging around with Tony in the postseason in that amazing drive to the World Series title.
Well, I started hanging around about the middle of the 05 season, and just being at the Busch Stadium, it's just an extraordinary experience. I mean, been to ballparks around the country, just haven't experienced anything quite like the ocean of red. It really is. And also, to wherever he sat me, to be surrounded by families who had tickets in the family for 70 years, and it's just an extraordinary environment there.
Yep.
So that part of it is kind of the pinnacle in terms of being a part of that.
Are you yourself a lifelong baseball fan?
Well, I grew up in the San Francisco area, so the Giants are my team. I would say that I'm a casual baseball fan, which actually when this book came to me, I felt sort of made me a good litmus test because I figured real baseball fans would get it and love it. So what would the casual fan think? And the way Buzz Bissinger, the author, tells the story, I just found it riveting and insightful. You know, it's a behind-the-scenes look at baseball that I don't think we've ever seen before, through the eyes, in this case, of a real baseball man in Tony La Russa, who is part of a vanishing breed, you know, these guys who he studied at the feet of the greats, you know, and it's much more about unlocking the passion of the players than it is deciphering their statistics, you know.
When you are casting the movie, and I guess you can't tell us anybody who's going to be in it, are you at least going to hire actors who look like they could play baseball?
Oh, I got great news in that regard.
Yeah.
We will be using the actual players.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have complete support from Major League Baseball and Tony and the organization, the Cardinals. And it is our plan, hope, and desire to use the actual footage from these three nights in August in 03. So
we're not going to see, like, Rob Schneider recreating a great moment at shortstop.
Dear Lord, you will not.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And when will we be seeing this movie?
Well, our fantasy is to start shooting the end of the summer. Now, there's about 4,700 ifs between here and there, and hopefully the majority of them fall into place, and we can actually start then.
Will you be doing some of it here?
We'll be shooting exclusively in St. Louis.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've heard from a lot of fans, and everyone's pretty excited about it, and everyone is offering up their services in any which way they can. The support is apparent and has been so clearly for many, many decades. So.
Well, you know, if there is any need for a bald, bearded, fat guy to sit in the stands and go, yay, I know one.
Well, I would say we will need as much of a supply of that description as possible.
I feel that we have been underrepresented in Hollywood. Anyway, good luck with the project, and you know, hopefully we'll see you when you are in town working on it this summer. While we're talking about movies, how about your buddy Alan Arkin on Sunday night?
You know, I was very excited. I got to tell you, you know, everyone told me that I should go and have a good time, but you can't. You can't really enjoy yourself until your category is done with. And I think setting the Oscar on the floor might have been a mistake, but otherwise I felt it went extremely well.
Did you call him afterwards as him and congratulate him?
I actually spoke to him earlier in the day just to check in with him and see how he was feeling. And he was very funny and very sort of relaxed. And
had never won before. Was he nervous?
No, he said, you know, after the Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Golden Globe, I've had so many microphones shoved in my face now. I'm over it, that aspect, and I just want to get through the night. You know, earlier today I was running an errand, and this woman came up to me, and she said, shouldn't you be getting ready? And I said, well, that's great, Alan. Total strangers are keeping tabs on you. You can't beat that. So he was very relaxed and very excited.
That's terrific. And by the way, should have been a winner for 1993's Indian Summer.
Well, you know, it was a fine and dandy film, and I thank each of the 19 people who saw it when I meet.
Maybe 18. I saw it twice.
All right, sir.
No, I actually enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. You and Alan Arkin and Elizabeth Perkins and the beautiful Diane Lane. Holy cow.
Ow.
Kevin, by the way, as far as I know, Kevin Pollak, the only person who does both Alan Arkin and Albert Brooks.
You know, let me just say something about that if I can. I wish more people were familiar with my face instead of just my voice from the Fish movie. So that I could come out and celebrate how brilliant I am on stage.
Well, you know, many people know your voice, Albert, because Kevin did such a great job as you in The Aristocrats.
You saw the special editions on the DVD.
Of course I did.
Well, God bless you.
And Penn tells me that you're better as Albert than Albert is as Albert. He wanted Brooks to be in the movie, but getting you was better, he said, because you're better as Albert Brooks than Albert Brooks is.
Well, I'm a little more relaxed, I guess.
What else are you working on these days?
Well, I'm very excited about coming to St. Louis to perform for the fine folks doing some stand-up this week.
Yeah, they're going to be at the Funny Bone Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Have you been doing stand-up on a regular basis, or is this a new tour of yours?
No, I started touring again about 4 or 5 years ago in between various other film projects. You know, look, I started out as a stand-up. Most people don't realize that. They know me mostly from the movies, which is great, but I did start as a stand-up.
I first met you when you were doing stand-up.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not a theater-trained actor. I had no formal training. I basically have no business being in these movies, be that as it may. When you hear of the theater actors returning to the theater, you know, that's a bunch of crap to me. To me, get back on the stage, do some stand-up, that's what it's about for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I love doing it, and, you know, I always have fun when I come to St. Louis, and the crowds are great, and so I'm looking forward to this weekend a lot.
Well, you're probably going to be spending a ton of time in St. Louis this year between the stand-up gigs and of course, making the new movie. Will you be doing another Impressionist week with Mr. Letterman?
I had a lot of fun. I don't know that he'll repeat his guests.
Were you surprised to be asked to do that?
I was. I mean, you know, I've done a couple dozen Letterman shots since he started doing his show over the years, and I've only just done the panel, as they call it, as an actor.
Yeah.
I'd never done stand-up on a talk show before.
Wait a minute. Never?
Well, I did a couple or dozen or more Tonight shows with Carson, and, I mean, I've done all the shows, a couple dozen Conan O'Briens, and I've always just come out as an actor. Of course, I do my act and my impressions from the couch.
Right.
But it was sort of orchestrated from the beginning that my dream was, on The Tonight Show with Carson, you know, I really sort of took my time and orchestrated my debut on the show sitting on the couch. I just knew when I did Peter Falk sitting next to Johnny,
mm-hmm.
it would have a much greater impact than standing on the stage.
Once he sees the eye, he's off the chair.
Yeah, and we had a lot of fun with that over the years. My second time on, he was so curious about the one eye moving that he asked me to teach him on the air how to do it. And then every time I came back and did the show after that, as I passed in front of him, that little moment after he introduces you and says, now my next guest is a little weird. He's quite funny. Please welcome Kevin Pollak. And then you'd come out the curtain And unlike Leno, who dances out from behind the desk, how you doing? Good to see you. Hey. Carson, the king, of course, would stay at the throne. So you would walk by in front of his desk on your way to the seat to his right. And just for a second, you'd have your back to the audience while you leaned over the desk to shake his hand on your way to the seat. And in that second, he would lean over the desk every time and cross one eye and say, ah, excuse me, I hate the bug. And I just thought, you know, that was one of the reasons he will never be replaced, because he made me feel like a billion damn dollars as I was sitting down in an otherwise most nervous, nerve-wracking situation possible.
Yep, absolutely.
He must have had those inside jokes with the guests, you know, up and down. So.
Well, but I want to go back to something, because I'm very intrigued by something you kind of glossed over here, that you purposely set it up so that when you went on, you were not doing stand-up.
Well, here's the thing. I started as a stand-up at around 17, 18. I'd already been riveted watching stand-up comedians on television since the age of 10, and had dreamt at that tender age of doing stand-up on The Tonight Show. By the time I moved to L.A., and the gatekeeper, this guy named Jim McCauley, who booked comedians on The Tonight Show, by the time he circled me in L.A. at one of the clubs and asked me to do the show, there had been hundreds and hundreds of comedians on, as opposed to when I was a kid and I'd watch, and there'd be about a dozen. You'd collect them like baseball cards. Mm-hmm. You knew who they all were. By the time I was 26, there'd been hundreds and hundreds. And it sort of, I don't know, it diluted the situation to the point where there was a small handful of comedians like David Steinberg and Albert Brooks and Don Rickles, Steve Martin, guys who would go right to the couch, do their act in the form of conversation, but they got to go to the couch and sit next to the king and make him laugh. That suddenly became the most important thing in the world to me when the gatekeeper circled and asked me to do the show. I said, look, this is crazy, but I'm willing to wait, because I know there's a protocol. I'm willing to wait till you can justify bringing me to the couch with either a TV show or a movie that I'm promoting, as opposed to doing stand-up on the show. And he looked at me like I was insane and said, you know, I can't disagree with you, but people don't say no to me.
Yeah, people don't turn down a stand-up spot on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Not only that, but this gatekeeper guy, he would circle comedians. I use that expression because he would hover and watch them for weeks, months before asking them to do it, to make sure they had two or three appearances ready, because if Johnny loved the guy, he'd bring him back like 6 weeks later. So you really had to have more than one six-minute segment prepared. So he really circled these guys, and everyone in the clubs in L.A. knew who he was and knew that, you know, when he knighted you, that was it. So, you know, I just said to him, look, I know when I sit next to Johnny and I do the Peter Falk one eye, it's going to have the impact that I've been dreaming about since I'm preteen. I think if I stand on the star and I do my little 6 minutes, he's going to like it, but it's just not going to have the same impact. So let me, if you'll have patience, let me try to get a TV show or a movie. By the way, at that point in my life when I'm speaking to the gatekeeper, I not only had no prospects of a TV show or a movie, I had no prospects for an audition.
Wow.
I just had this dream, and it was one of the few times where I sort of took the reins of my career. And thankfully, I was in my 20s, so I was stupid enough to make this kind of thing.
Nowadays, you'd look at that and go, what are you thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't even hesitate.
Yeah.
But I was young and stupid enough to have that crazy courage without considering it courage. It was just... Now, I also said to him, granted, I may call you back in an hour and beg for this opportunity. But right now, this is, I think if I sit on the couch and do the Peter Falk. Lo and behold, it took about a little over a year. I did this movie that Ron Howard directed called Willow.
Mm-hmm.
It was enough to justify bringing me out as an actor. I sat down. I did Peter Falk. Johnny pushed himself away from the desk. He was laughing so hard. And he had me back on the show 2-3 times a year till he retired. And it made all the difference in the world to me personally, and made enough of a difference in my career that I would say it was the single greatest sort of goal setting and achievement ever.
Now, do you think you set a precedent? Did anybody after you go to Macaulay and say, thanks, but I'm going to wait?
I don't recall hearing. I'm sure some did. I know I heard from a handful of comedians who I greatly respected in the years that followed saying, how did you do that? You know?
Yeah. That's an amazing and great story. Kevin Pollak will be at the Funny Bone Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, and returning to St. Louis sometime, hopefully late this summer, to start making the Buzz Bissinger book Three Nights in August into a major motion picture. And hopefully we'll get a chance to chat again then when you're right here live in St. Louis. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you for your interest, and I will be back way before the end of the summer to see some games. And if we end up getting fortunate with our casting, I will call and let you know that we got our actor.
All right, good luck getting number one.
Thank you so much.
Kevin Pollak here on The Paul Harris Show.